Last week we discussed Christians learning to see or learning not to see, depending upon our spiritual perspective in this ever-darkening world. And we've alluded to that just now, that the world is changing. It's not the same place I grew up in. It's not the same place many of us grew up in. I think we discovered, hopefully and prayerfully, that denying ourselves, taking up our cross to follow, and are to stay in Jesus' light, first and foremost, it requires a desire. A desire on our part to do so. We have to have that. Because we usually find a way to do what we desire to do, don't we? I mean, think about it. We really do. I covered a lot of scripture last week, but the main text was John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I know I read that several times last week, but I wonder if we, as in you and me, if we really understand what Jesus is telling us, what he's saying there. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As we talked about how things have changed so much in the last 30 or 40 years, they didn't just change out there in the world, did they? So many things have changed here in the church. So many things that the church would have never thought of doing, Christians would have never thought of doing 30 or 40 years ago, today we just do them, don't we? We do. And I think I heard this discussion going on in Sunday school this morning, I'm not sure, but the world's looking at us. They're looking at us. And I can tell you from when I was in the world, I wanted Christ to be there. I really did. I wanted Jesus to be real. And that's why I said you could probably have wrote test across my forehead, because I would find out if he was. If he wasn't real to you, then he didn't seem very real to me. And many times, if I could make you stumble, then I would see that you weren't any better for me than me for having Christ. But the world is looking at us, and we're to be set apart, and it shouldn't be something that we necessarily do unto ourselves. Like, we've talked a great deal, and I think Michael talked about it Wednesday, about wearing our Christian attire and looking like Christians. That's not what it's about. It's about loving like Christ. Loving the world, loving people the way he does. And I really wonder if we understand what he's saying to us here. He is the only true light. Jesus Christ is the only hope for us, for this planet, for everyone on it. He's the only hope. And any and everything else that we try to do in an effort to bring that hope and light into our lives. And if you look out into the world, and when I was in the world, I can see it now. So many of the things I was trying to do, I was trying to fill that void within me. That's a void only he can fill. So many of the things we try to do that fill that void, they pale in comparison to what he will do in us. And I'm not just talking about lost people. I'm talking about us. What he'll do in us if we'll let him. But we have to have that desire to let him. Can we talk? Don't answer. But do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's who he is. He's your Savior. Whether you know him as such or not, that is who he is. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Savior of the world. One day everybody will know that he is. But everybody won't know him as such, will they? That's a terrifying thought. If you do, do you ever feel, and I underline feel, hopeless? Do you ever feel like the darkness is going to swallow you up? Me too. Sometimes I feel that way. You want to know why? It's really not that complicated. He said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When we feel like the darkness of the world is swallowing us up, we've stopped following. We've taken our eyes off of the prize. That's exactly what we've done. Would you like to know why? I know why feels more complicated, but it's really just as simple as what I just said earlier. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. As I said last week, it's so important that God gave it to us twice, and we still don't get it. He put it in there twice, exactly alike. What can we do about it? Proverbs 3:5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And for good measure, I'll throw this in again this week too. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That last sentence tells us we don't do it by ourselves. We have somebody to intercede for us. As my little buddy Logan is so fond of saying, it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? If it was easy, it is, in theory, I probably wouldn't be preaching about it still, would I? This morning I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for those that have shared their testimony this morning and shared their hearts. We thank you for this place, Lord Jesus, that you've given us, and for the history that's in this place, for all those who have come and gone in this place. Lord, for those who have gone on to the reward, Lord, we thank you so much for allowing our paths to cross. Father, for those who have come and just left church, Lord, we lift them up before you today, for there are way too many. We pray, Lord, that they would see your love somewhere in their lives, that you would send your agents to cross their paths. We pray, Lord, that they would come back. And Lord, I pray for each and every one that's here today. For Lord, they truly are the backbone of this church. I pray your blessings upon us, Lord, for we can do nothing with you, but we can do all things through you. Let our focus remain there, Lord Jesus. Let us accomplish all things in you. Let us see souls come to your light. Let us see them pulled from the darkness of the world around us. And Lord, we give you the praise, the blessing, and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Last week, I said we had to be intentional. We had to be deliberate in our Christian walk. Because following Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, it doesn't just happen, does it? In fact, I continue to say that the devil and most of the world around us, over which the devil presides, is doing everything that they can to ensure that it doesn't just happen. They don't want it to happen. I also said this last week. The devil and the world around us aren't the only forces that we struggle against, are they? In fact, they take most of our attention goes outward, but in truth, the bigger struggle is within us, isn't it? Because there's something within us, if we'd be honest this morning, that's trying to prevent that from happening too. Trying to prevent us from being all that we can be in Christ. We have two natures, don't we? If we know Christ as our Savior, we do. We do. We were dead in Christ before we came to know him, and we became spiritually alive, born again, as we met him as our Savior. Now, I would love for that old guy to have went away. but he didn't. He's still there, and he pops up all the time. And sometimes he's, I hate to say this, standing in a pulpit, but sometimes he's the enemy's best friend. He really is. And the enemy knows just what buttons to push to make him react. He does. There is that within each one of us. That's why the Lord warns us to forsake the way which seems right to us, forsake our own understanding, and to acknowledge him in all of our ways. Because that old guy, he doesn't see things the way Jesus does. He doesn't see it that way at all. He doesn't love everybody around him the way Jesus does. Don't misunderstand me. There is a battle going on around us too. And casualties are taking place every day as a result. But our greatest advancement into that battle, our greatest difference maker in that battle, if you will, needs to happen within us. Right? Where's revival going to start? Starts here, within me. Starts there within you. We have to have that desire for Christ to be first in our life in order for Christ to become first in our life, don't we? We truly do. And I'm trying to stick to my notes and not preach so much because I know we're going to run out of time here shortly, and it's hard to do because it's important. We have to understand it. It's so easy for me to look at you and see what's wrong. I could fix most of your problems if you just come to me and be open about it. Talked about it the last couple weeks, haven't we? It's the truth. But we can't see that within ourselves, can we? We can't. That old guy likes to rear up his head. The problem that's taking place in the church today is happening within Christians. It's not the world around that's oppressing, it's us. Revival needs to start in our heart. And revival will spread out into the world. You can't stop Jesus Christ. But he won't force himself upon us. We have to have that desire for him to be Lord of our lives. I can't help anyone find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if I'm not allowing him to be my Lord and Savior. I can't manufacture it. It has to be real. He has to be my Lord. He has to be my Savior in order for anybody else to see that reality. We can't lead someone to Christ if we're not following him ourselves. Okay, shift gears a little bit. Speed up. At some point this week, I watched the greater part of all 5 Rocky movies. Before you begin to think that Bob's a weirdo, I'm not really a big fan of Rocky movies. I'm not really a big fan of Sylvester Stallone. Well, when you're all by yourself in the evening, at least the TV makes noise. There's something, a voice in there somewhere. I brought that up because as I was coming and going in and out of the room, I'd stop every little bit and watch, especially during the fight scenes because I'm a guy and guys like fight scenes. They weren't choreographed very well, but they were a fight. I think it was Rocky 3. You could correct me if you want. I think it's when Rocky fought Mr. T. Remember Mr. T? I pity the fool. It was him. He even said it in the movie. It was really weird. Rocky became famous. He was the heavyweight champion of the world. And he forgot what it was that had gotten him there. And he started believing everything they were saying about him. And he quit training. I know it's just a movie and it's not even a good one. But I've also seen that happen in real life, too. I've told you before that I really used to really follow boxing a lot, especially the heavyweights, but all boxing. I loved it. I loved watching fights. People beat each other up. There was a young heavyweight champion named Mike Tyson. You remember him? Guy that went crazy and started eating people's ears and got this big tattoo on his face. Oh, who would do that? I believe, and I've seen some and I've studied quite a bit about the history of boxing, I believe he was the best heavyweight champion ever. I've said it before, and me and Denny were just talking about this last Sunday night when we were in here. When I was in my prime, I would have got in the ring with any of them for enough money, you know, except Mike Tyson, because you can't spend money when you're dead. And I believe the man might have killed me. I really do. He was like a pit bull. He was kind of crazy. I think that's what made him so good. But anyway, he was really, really good. And he got to a place where he started believing everything they were saying about him too, didn't he? And he made a guy, you remember him, Buster Douglas? Yeah, that's the only thing Buster Douglas is known for, that he knocked down and beat Mike Tyson. He didn't have anything to lose, and he fought accordingly, and the rest, as they say, is history. I brought all that up because I want us to understand that can happen to us as Christians too. It really can. When grace was fresh and we were getting to know Jesus Christ, we couldn't get enough, could we? Can you remember that, how that felt? You couldn't get enough of him. We were at church every time the door was open. If they were having Bible study, we were there. Every church service, every singing we'd go. We used to travel around to go to singings. They'd have revival up in Granite City, and our church would drive up there and go to that week-long revival. But somewhere along the way, we begin to slow down, didn't we? I mean, we've been doing this for years now, right? How much more do we need to learn? Anyway, my favorite show's on Wednesday night, Sunday evening. Crying out loud, do you even know the Super Bowl only happens once a year? I'm just picking on things that I might say and use. But there are many other things out there, aren't there? Some of them that some of you may use. Did a make-believe Rocky Balboa or a real-life Mike Tyson, did they lose their title in a moment? In truth, they did. It was that moment between the 9 and the 10 count. But in truth, they started losing that title long before, didn't they? When they stopped training. They began losing weeks and even months before when they took their eyes off the prize. They took their eyes off the very thing that had gotten them there. And they lost their desire to train. Can that happen to us as Christians? Our desire can wane too, can't it? It does, doesn't it? Human nature is human nature, no matter what the venture is. Michael said something I really appreciated Wednesday evening. He was just finishing up taking prayer requests and about to pray, and he said something to this effect, and I may not have it exactly right, but it's close. He said, let's be certain, and I trust we do, to remember Brother Bob and his family. We should always remember our pastors, because the devil would love for them to fail. That might not be exact, as I said, but it's close. Did I say it just to get you to pray for me? No, but you can if you want. I appreciate it. What Michael said is very true in Luke 12:47-48. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. For he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. I'm going to have to slow down to speed up. That's all there is to it. I said all that in an effort to help us understand. Endeavoring to follow a holy, righteous Savior within an unrighteous, unholy tent of flesh is not easy. The theory is very simple. Christianity is one of the most simple things. But Christians are very difficult. It's not easy. But it is worth it. Don't ever think that it's not. As that darkness starts to swallow you up, understand, it's not easy. But it's worth it. Alyssa, she's not here this morning. She runs cross country. Is that easy for her to run cross country? Probably not easy even to haul her around, is it? It requires that she train. And I can tell you it does, because many times on Sunday night she has to leave early because she has to go run around town. She has to run a lot, and she's done very well. But she's done very well because of her training, hasn't she? Do you think all that training has caused her any discomfort or pain? I know it has, because she talks about it all the time, doesn't she? It hurts. It hurts. But she's done really good, especially for a short girl. I mean, she beat girls twice her height almost. I mean, I've told her before, you have to run twice as far as they do. At least your legs move twice as many times. She's really done well, and I'm very proud of her. But she's done well because she was willing to train, because she saw that it was worth it. Now, all the world around her would tell her, you're never going to get any titles, you're never going to win. But she didn't listen, and she did. She did very, very well. It was worth it. I do covet your prayers, because not always, but many times, especially of late, after what I can only explain as emptying myself up here, I become vulnerable. I become vulnerable to my own understanding. And it's usually on a Monday that I come under spiritual attack. And I've talked about it to several of you before. I used to have a Tasmanian devil up on my wall. I said, on Monday, no questions. And I have a picture of a little Tasmanian devil, because that's how I feel some Mondays. So I do covet your prayers. Do I ask you to pray that the attacks would stop? Not necessarily. I really don't. I ask you to pray that I not become disqualified, that I make it through the attacks, and I grow closer to Christ as a result. I owe all that I am to Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. He saved me. Mind, body, spirit, and soul. I know I wouldn't be on the planet today, and I wouldn't be able to look toward heaven as my home without him. I don't always feel like it, but I know that I know that I know. And that's why I wanted this song. Whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. 2 Timothy 1:12a. Let's look at a few more of Paul's instructions, encouragements to Timothy, and then I'll close. 1 Timothy 6:6 through 12. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 2 Timothy 1:6 through 9. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I remember when I first came to Christ, I just about wore that scripture out. I really did. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Can we see and understand it now? There is a very dark battle taking place, both in and around us. It is as real as any battle that this world has ever seen. It is driven by an enemy who's responsible for every battle that this world has ever seen. And if he could, he would devour every one of us. He would make our testimony of no effect on this world around us. She's fine. But praise God, he cannot. Because Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and those who follow him, though they may be wounded, they will not be overcome by the enemy's darkness if they will but continue to follow and keep their hearts and their minds and their eyes upon him. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, read it again. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. One day, there will be no darkness for us. All will be light. All will be light. And we will receive that imperishable crown. And if you're here this morning, and you've never accepted him from the free pardon of sin, I want you to know that there is a prize in Christ. And that prize will keep you from sin's penalty. Because sin has a penalty. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. But that prize in Christ will keep you from that penalty for all eternity. I made it. 3 minutes to spare, Jay. You're going to have to pick a short one.